Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good day, good night, bonjour, and many more things. Hello, this is Blaze, this is Not Junk Cat. I hope you're all doing good, I hope you're all doing well. Welcome to our little podcast that is going to conquer the world one day. We got a very, very special guest today, and this time it's not me who contacted him, it was Bobby, and I'm very, very interested in hearing his story. Bobby, how are you doing? The muscles from Florida, the Floridian Rambo, the man who shaved his head off. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, shaved my head off. Fuck cancer. That's all I'm going to say. Fuck cancer. So from me and Blaze, first I want to say thank you to each and every one of you guys and gals to whatever platform you listen to this podcast on, giving us a nice 5-star rating. So not only is it us about podcasting, it's about somebody else that does a podcast at the same time. And yes, I personally went after this gentleman because his message is key to everything. And it not only is a military veteran like myself, he has a lot of good things going. And we will make sure all his information is listed in the description of this podcast. So it's an honor to welcome Bryant Chambers to the podcast.
Hey, Bryant. The honor is mine, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me.
So, I told Blaze, is that I always enjoy your TikTok, and that's how I discovered you. Which, well, one thing led to another, and that's the great thing about content is that one thing can lead to the next thing. So, I discovered you. Not only I was like, oh, this guy's a veteran, you know, and let me look at his, you know, what he's putting out, and you know, I get 15 seconds to a minute to really get in what you're saying, and I'm like, it's amazing what you're able to put across the board in 15 seconds.
Wow.
Like, how's he doing this? And you know, and I'm like, but then I went through and I checked out the, you know, the 30 days, BryantChambers.com, and you guys need to go ahead and sign up for that thing. And you know, I looked at your YouTube channel, and I was like, then he was like, oh my God, it's got a podcast. And I was like, so you can put so much more out there. And I discovered this is what I like about content, is that, you know, a 15-second video led to, like, you know, as a man, the things you're saying, you're putting out there, it's leading to more than that. And that's why I was like, I got to have him. We got to get him on the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. So, please.
I got to say, the first thing I heard was his beautiful manly voice. I love his voice.
Ah,
you know, he's got a beard.
Hashtag you know. Man crush. No, I'm joking.
he's a fan.
I like the deep voice. I was like, damn, this dude got a nice voice, man.
Because I think the very first TikTok I seen of you was the one you did of the soldier at St. Peter at the gate.
Yeah, the final inspection. Absolutely.
And then I was like, okay.
That's how most people found me.
And then I was like, what's up with this? And then you, you know, like we talked earlier, like Topher Music did a TikTok that you do edit, and then I do edit yours, and then us military veterans, we just all jumped on the freight train, we did it, you know? And
yeah, you're talking about the Memorial Day one, right? Where we all listed what we did and who we were? Cool. And so let me break in for 1 second for my audience that'll hear this. What are y'all's TikTok names so they can follow you guys?
Mine is just Junkhead TTV.
Roger.
That's
that.
All. Yeah.
Mine's Joaquin Blaze, but I'm not putting a lot of content on TikTok at the moment.
Okay.
But I should start doing it again. But
you should go. I just want to make sure platform, my audience is tuning into you guys too.
Yeah. Any platform like Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, it's all Joaquin Blaze.
And what is your podcast right now? Just for people out there.
My podcast is called Bryant Chambers Movement. You can just search my name because it's, you know, not too many Bryant Chambers is in the world. But it's Bryant Chambers Movement on every podcast platform you can think of, except for Stitcher for some reason. But I only have one listener that uses Stitcher, and he already switched. So
But if you guys are on Stitcher, you guys show them some love. So actually, this is awesome because we got two podcasts going at the same time. Let's go. But yeah, so once again, thank you for taking the time. I know you've been really busy. We've had to reschedule this for like 2 weeks, and I'm just glad we were able to do it. And
I appreciate y'all's patience with that, man. You guys are awesome.
No, we thought Blaze was going to have a computer for a second because he had to sell it to get his new 3080 graphics card, and so that's the cool thing about it, though, is that it allowed us to spend more time checking, you know, us to really divulge into what you're putting out there. So for all the Fraggin' and Laggin' fans, you guys, this is Bryant Chambers, military officer, content creator, motivational speaker, the maker of men out there. So this is the cool thing. We get to hear your story.
that is probably more praise than I am due, my friend, but I appreciate it.
Stop it, man. So, let's just sit back and enjoy the ride. You know, we got all the time in the world, and like I told you, is that the cool thing about it is that on this podcast, and I'm sure much like any other podcast you hear out there, is that we get to hear people's stories, and Blaze and I are big advocates of hearing people's stories. So this is our chance for our fans to get to know yours, get to know your story, and then everyone, it's like one big symbiotic relationship. Everyone, you know, enjoys everyone else's content and hearing their stories. So, yes, the floor is yours, sir.
Oh, man, thank you so much. First of all, gentlemen, thank you again for having me here. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for your patience and dealing with me finally getting onto the show between being sick and thinking I had COVID. Thankfully, I didn't. And, you know, raising a family of 14 to 70 children and homeschooling. So I appreciate all y'all's patience. And for your audience, too, thanks for tuning in and being a part of this. My story, I don't know that it's particularly unique. I think a lot of people listening will find that my story is probably pretty similar to theirs. You know, if you go all the way back to my beginning when I'm born, I'm born out of wedlock to two kids who are in college. One of those kids didn't, you know, stick around much longer after I was born. That's my biological father. He dips at age 19, I believe, and leaves my mom kind of holding the bag. But my mom's dad steps in and adopts me. My mom's father, my grandfather, was a career soldier, paratrooper, you know, spent 37 years chasing bad guys around the world. And so I got to grow up in that environment, at least for the first half of my childhood, because, you know, dad retired when I was still a kid. But I grew up in a military family, and I'm sure a lot of listeners, there's a lot of vets here and a lot of military interested folks. There's probably a lot of military brats here. That was my story. So I got to move all around the world, got to learn about a lot of different cultures, and even in the States, the different cultures that exist in the United States from Virginia to Hawaii, right? And so I grew up in that environment. I grew up in a warrior's environment. I grew up around warriors. You know, my dad was a career infantryman. And so the type of people that he kept company with were that caliber of people. So I grew up with a lot of those values, a lot of those, you know, ideals and whatnot. And then wanted to be a pro football player, failed. And for no other reason than just fear. A lot of my friends that are in the NFL or were in the NFL who met me and know how I work and how I train, they're like, yeah, you would have sucked, but you would have been there if you would have had a little bit, you know, if you'd had some more people to help you overcome some of my problems and my insecurities, I might have had a shot. But instead of going that route, I went the ROTC route, became a soldier myself, you know, did the war thing, got to hang out in the sandbox with what I think is the greatest group of men known to mankind, you know, guys that I would live and die for and would do the same for me. Came home, went through a lot of the challenges that a combat veteran goes through when they come home feeling out of place, feeling like you don't really have a place, because war, it does change you from the inside out, in that it gives you a perspective on life that most people just can't have because they don't have the experience. Sometimes you find people, first responders, people that do those types of jobs, or even someone who's been through like a very serious trauma, or what I'm finding even in my travels is people who've been to prison understand war in a very kind of foundational way. But anyway, come home, feel disillusioned, feel like I'm out of place. I got so bad at one point that like when I told my VA doctor, when they asked me was I suicidal, I had to tell them I didn't know. And they were like, that's an honest answer. I said, well, because I thought about it, but I'm not planning to do it. You know, I thought about, would my family be better off if I wasn't just sitting around feeling sorry for myself and being miserable? And then I figured, well, if I'm going through this, that means lots of people have gone through this, which means there's probably other people who are going through this and going to go through this. So instead of kind of pitying myself and feeling sorry for myself and wanting to die, I figured, why don't I just go help a bunch of other people that have the same problem as me, which is trying to figure out how to integrate back into this civilian world that's now like a foreign country to us, where so many of us, almost, not even almost, so many vets that I talk to crave going back to combat versus living at home because it's more comfortable. And so yeah, I just started.
And I agree with you 100%, because I've had friends that when they've gone to the desert, they come back different. And you can tell. And then, you know, I think one of the most disheartening things that I heard is that I had a friend who I knew for like 10 years said that he wanted to go back to the desert to die because he didn't feel welcome. Or he didn't feel welcome, but he felt he didn't belong here. And I just want to take a quick second. You know, we're both veterans, and Blaze is a big advocate of mental health and our awareness. And if you guys are in a bad place, please reach out to a friend. Talk to somebody. And if you don't feel like you can do that, please. 1-800-273-8255 is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline here in the States or whatever country it is. Please, let's spread the word, because and I know, like, you know, Bryant, you said it, you know, 22 is, and we agree, 22 is too much a day, right? You know, and that the goal is to get it to zero. And just know that the veteran community is always there for you. So, and I've said the same thing on my social media. I don't have to know you. I know that we're a 1% family for a reason. At any point in time, you can bang my DMs and I will be there for you. So, you guys, once again, 1-800-273-8255 is the National Suicide Prevention Line here in the States. And we'll turn it back over to you, Brian.
Yeah, no worries. Oh, I appreciate that.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Please, yeah.
Like, I haven't been in the military because they canceled the... Like, we used to have in Belgium that when you became 18, you had to go in the military for a year, right? And they canceled it like 3 years before I should have done. But the mental health issue is not only a thing, you know, for you guys sometimes. I went through a certain patch, Bobby knows that, and the only thing I can tell you is always try to reach out to somebody and always try to hold on all the positive stuff around you, and thinking that people wouldn't miss you around you, there's always going to be people missing you, and it's the easy way out for you at that moment, I feel. And like, when I was fighting my devils, I always said, like, I gotta fight for everybody around me too, because, like, they deserve the best of me also, you know? I don't know if I explained it correctly in English, but that's how I tried to explain.
It sounded perfect to me, man.
Like Bobby says, just reach out to somebody, talk to people, and I always say, like, whatever situation you're in, you can improve it by already just looking at all the positive stuff around you and pulling you up through that, you know?
And I tell any military service member, veteran, or spouse, my email is public, contact@bryantchambers.com. If you need to just talk to somebody, holler at me and we'll figure it out. But yeah, 100% agree. I really appreciate you guys bringing that up.
No, it can't be said enough. And the veteran community will always be there for the veteran community when we feel like the world turns their back on us. So we got each other's back. We got each other's six. How about that?
Absolutely.
But, you know, as you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that was
a pride moment. Like, sorry.
That was a very appropriate segue, man. I tried to. So, you know, it my story is like anybody else's. You did the military thing. I'd give my military career a C-. Nothing too spectacular, to probably a little more than some and a lot less than many. Came home and, you know, I started my media company back then because I knew I couldn't work for people for the rest of my life and stuff like that. But in the process of starting my media company, because when my media company started, I was actually on the entertainment side, you know, doing websites for local music communities. I did some work with PlayStation. I had my own online community. And this is all before social media. I'm a huge gamer, which I think should resonate with some of y'all's audience. So I was doing game reviews back in the day with my media company.
The first thing I thought was, what is he doing at PlayStation? Explain that to me. But that's my gamer side.
Give me more details.
So
in 2000, this would have been four, I think. This is before social media, so you had what's called message forums back then. And Sony hired a third-party company. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But this third-party company ran Sony's online message forums called the PlayStation Underground. And I used to hang out there because, you know, I loved games. Games became a huge part of my healing process when I came home from war. Just because you can escape in there. You can find yourself in the stories and not have to face some of the things immediately that are going on in front of you. It's a healthy escape. And so I'd hang out there. I made a lot of friends, but then eventually got asked to help out with running the forums. I was a moderator there for, I think, a year, maybe 2 years before I started my own. And it eventually phased out. I don't even know if they exist anymore now with all the social media stuff. But I used to write game reviews. Like, my crowning achievement was, one of my idols as a kid was a guy named Dan Hsu. Who wrote for a magazine called Electronic Gaming Monthly. He used to, I think he was one of the founders of 1UP.com. I know he used to work there, but I think he owned stake in that company. And then he started his own called BitMob. And then they were inviting, you know, writers and creators to come out and be a part of it. And I started submitting articles. So my crowning achievement was, not only did I get to write for Dan Hsu's, you know, business, he actually was the editor on the best article I'd ever written. Dan Hsu actually edited it and published it to the website. He's on my music album that nobody can ever find now because I took it all off the internet. And then I remember him sharing on Facebook when I put out my album back when I used to be cool. He's like, hey, I'm on this guy's hip hop album. Y'all gotta listen to him, man. So did that for a while. But then really, gaming was kind of always a Trojan horse for me because I didn't just want to create content that made people know about games. I wanted to impact people's lives in some type of positive way, the way I used to be able to do when I was a soldier. And in the real world, it sometimes, at least for me, it was hard to find opportunities to do that because people in the civilian world have it so good, sometimes they don't realize that they could use a boost or some help. Right? And so I started focusing my attention on veterans because I started to become aware of, oh, this 22-a-day thing and, you know, all these things that are going on. So it was like, okay, how can I help? How can I take everything I know about media and social media and building websites and building businesses, you know, running businesses, and create something that'll help vets with this struggle to become a human being, to become a citizen again after, you know, getting to be an all-out warrior? You know, and kind of where I've landed today is veterans, you know, and existing service members don't, depending on what you did, I think there's probably some jobs that kind of translate okay to a civilian world, but if you've been some of the places where me and my friends have been, it's a little bit harder to integrate back into civilian society because the values are different. I tell everyone to read a book called The Warrior Ethos. Warriors should read it because it's going to tell their story. Civilians should read it so they can understand why warriors sometimes have such a hard time dealing with them. And I started ripping through Sun Tzu and the Art of War, and I landed on, you know, one of his passages that's kind of the mantra I live by, which is, the person that knows themselves and knows their enemy never has to fear the outcome of 100 engagements. And I translate that to, if you're a person, you have intense self-awareness, or what we call violent self-awareness, and you understand your life's problems and why they are the way they are, you can't ever lose as long as you never give up. And if you have people that can help you overcome the hurdles, you're always going to win at whatever you're trying to do. And so what I realized is that a lot of the problems we face as a society, not just for, you know, military folks, is there's a huge lack of self-awareness because it's not taught in schools. There's a huge lack of awareness about the problems we have and why we have them. And there is a void of good leaders in the world. Forget about America, just period. This, outside of the military, all I kept seeing from when I was running a billionaire's company to consulting other companies and et cetera, was, all of these companies have severe leadership problems. So I figured, okay, combat vets may not have an exact home they can come to where they're always going to feel at home, but we can create our own within the citizen-civilian culture. We can create our own world. We can create our own businesses, we can create our own ideas and content and be influencers the same way these kids do on social media. So let's create our world, and since we have training on how to actually be good leaders, let's take that and train the rest of the world to not be so messed up. And so that's essentially what the Brian Chambers movement was about finding the leaders that already exist and leading the leaders to go make the world a better place. So we get veterans starting businesses, we get veterans in the social media space, because the military values that we all have is what I think America, and it really any society, needs. I mean, who doesn't want loyalty, duty, respect, right? Selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Who wouldn't want to have those values? But a lot of the companies that I'd find myself consulting with, they didn't have them. There was a lot of cowardice and a lack of leadership. So I'm like, well, I know a bunch of men and women who can solve that problem, so let me go get them. And then through the process, I started to meet other people who wanted to help and who started asking, hey, would you be willing to take what you're doing for veterans and make it bigger, go global with it, and help people all across the world to solve this leadership problem? And I said, absolutely, I'd be willing to do that. So that's kind of where I'm sitting today, is I'm still every day doing what I can to help our military folks and first responders. It's not just, you know, isolated to military people. It's anybody that wants to jump on this train and do some good. And now I'm focused also on helping anybody that wants to become what I call a warrior leader, find the warrior leader within themselves and actually become the best version of it. And to define warrior, because some people ask, I don't mean people who've been to war. You don't have to have been a soldier. When I say warrior, I just mean the type of person who would sacrifice of self and do anything it took to provide for and protect the village that they've, you know, pledged their allegiance to, whether it's your family, it's your friends, it's your social tribe, it's your business. If you're willing to go the extra mile and sacrifice for other people, then I consider you a warrior, you know. And the only, like, the opposite of that would, to me, would be a coward. And I don't think you have to have carried a gun to be a warrior. I think it's really a mindset. And the more we can instill those warrior values in people's minds and hearts and actually give them a purpose, give them some self-awareness. I basically went and got a self-taught PhD in dang psychology, because I had to figure out how people's brains work so I could help them overcome their problems. And be able to help them get out there and do something that matters. So we solve the problem of veterans not feeling like they have a place because we're together. We solve the problem of veterans feeling like their job is BS or they don't have a purpose. That was my story for a while. Because now we're giving you a purpose to go out and make the world an actual better place, and you're actually skilled to go out and do it, right? And whether it's you're a gamer, you're a writer, you're a musician, doesn't matter where you land as a warrior leader, just lead wherever you are, because it's going to make the world a better place. And so essentially, I'm just trying to save the world, I guess, with my degrees of grandeur.
That's the question. Like, I've known Bobby for like half a year almost now, I think. And Bobby's always been somebody who always puts his needs aside for other people and tries to pull people through and help them as much as he can. That's always been Bobby, right? That's how I know him. That's how I heard about him. Is he that a warrior, like you say? Did I understand that well? Because he's like trying to help people and lead them to be better and make stuff better.
Absolutely.
There you go, Bobby. You're the warrior.
Well,
that's a warrior.
Here's the thing, and I've said this so much, is that military people, the family, the military brotherhood, the sisterhood, we get each other. I mean, because when we get each other, we have a different sense of humor about everything.
Everything.
You know, we look at things differently, and like, people don't get our jokes, and we're like, they're like, that's stupid. And I'm like, because like, I, you know, like, when there was a time where I watched a lot of like YouTube, like Matt Best. I liked Matt Best video because they were comical and I got his jokes, you know. And then he put out his little motivational movies, the videos that he did were like, oh, you know, I choose life, you know, and, you know, where he says, you know, I'd rather fail 1,000 times than never try, you know, and he said, success is a mindset. So, and then he did the one, you know, where he says that, you know, he calls the veteran community, you know, we always say we're unbroken, you know, because no matter what, you can't break us. So,
yeah.
And it's one thing. I think the thing about nowadays is that the kids, And I say the kids because I'm 47 years old, so I can't say that, you know. But is that people today always want to be labeled something as a sense of achievement. And I'm like, I mean, it's great to be called a warrior because it's, to me, there's certain things that you achieve that no one can ever take away. Like, no one can ever take my veteran status away from me. Right. No one will ever take that family away from me. But, you know, people always looking for that sense of accomplishment, you know, when I was like, you know, what you accomplish tomorrow may not amount to anything, you know, I mean, you know, yesterday, the things you accomplished yesterday may not account, 6 months down the road may not mean anything. So I think in life you have to always be, you know, there has to always be progression. And that's just my way of looking at things, because when you become content, the world's going to pass you by. Like, okay, cool, you know. I got 5,000 likes on this TikTok. Cool. I'm done. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, that doesn't make you better than me. You know?
Right. But,
I mean, I don't know. It's just that your message.
Wasn't that what you said when you had, like, more than 10 kills on Call of Duty and you said to me, Blaze, I quit, I'm done?
I'm going pro.
I'm never going to get any better.
The thing about it is that, you know, I think it's really admirable because... You know, like, for me, is like with you meet those people that make you better. Yeah. And, like, when you send out a message that connects with people, like, I don't have to meet you in person, Brian. But there's a connection. It's not a military connection because I hear what you're saying. I've listened to your podcast and I was like, you know, when you say things that resonate with people, that's the connection. Like, you can't take that away, you know, like, I think it's cool is that you, I guess we learn from the military, you never mix, you know, politics and religion when you're talking about things, you know, it's so taboo, it's wrong, but, you know, but it's also nice to have someone in your face. I call, you know, you call it the drill instructor mentality, you know, sometimes you need somebody in your face telling you you're, you need to please remove your head from your ass. My first sergeant used to tell me that all the time.
He had
a business card. He had a business card, and it had his name on it. He goes, flip it over, and flip it over, and says, please remove your head from your ass. You know? I was like, okay, can you say not give it back to me? But, you know, you need that, you know? I mean, I think sometimes you need someone to get in your face to make you realize that you're messing up. But then I think what makes it awesome is that, you know, the way you come across saying things, it's like... You know, I mean, this guy could be the guy up there, like the Tony Robbins, screaming and yelling, come on, you can do this, blah, 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 you know, or, you know, but, you know, the way you say things, it's like you found your hook, you know, and it resonates, you know, and is that it's nice, it's refreshing, you know, but it's also great because when you do things from a military standpoint, I laugh. Because I get it, you know. I'm like, oh my god! And then, like, my fiance is like, I don't understand it.
I tell people all the time, I was a warrior long before I became a soldier. You know, for me, it started with athletics. It was my job was to destroy everything in front of me on the football field, and that aggressive spirit has always been, and I don't mean aggressive like I'm trying to do violence to somebody. I mean, I'm aggressive about everything. I'm aggressive when I go to the gym and work out. I'm aggressive when I'm working to raise my boys into young men and make them good men. You know, not in a negative way, but in a, like, that warrior spirit is sometimes something you just have or don't have, but it can absolutely be taught. And that's why I tell people all the time, you don't have to have been a soldier to be what I call a warrior. All I'm looking to do is infect a civilian culture, which is America is a civilian culture with a military, right? And so, and this is what the Warrior Ethos book kind of goes into. It's America is a civilian society that has warriors to protect it. Sparta was a warrior culture that had citizens, but every citizen understood that the warrior culture is what drives us. America's not that. And so when a warrior has to find his or her place in a civilian society, there's always going to be conflict because the values are different. You know, when I was a soldier, my ability to be good, especially as an officer, was 100% predicated on how well my soldiers performed, which gave me an incentive to make sure all my guys were squared away and I was giving them everything they could to win. I remember when I became a civilian, and I was running part of a billionaire's company, I was told, this is, you know, your career is yours. You're in charge of your progression, which is still true in warrior culture, but it was kind of an every man for himself, look out for yourself first type of thing, which is the complete opposite that you're taught as a soldier. And so when a warrior, regardless of where you come from, law enforcement, fire department, I think nurses and doctors, warriors all day long. When you come into a this is me society, by the way, that's why I hate Instagram, side note. When it's all about me, it's a warrior's never going to fit there because they are conditioned not to think about just me. And so what I'm looking to do is infect our very, very civilian society with just a little bit of that warrior value. Like, hey, loyalty and selfless service or personal sacrifice are good ideas. You know what I mean? Like personal courage, selfless service, and loyalty. If you just have those three things, we'd run into a lot less problem, right? If I can teach people like the first principle of leadership, like I have a leadership, I have a small leadership course in one of my bigger online courses. And the first principle is you got to start with you. If you can't lead you, if you can't manage you, you're not leading anybody else anyway. You know, so it's, if I can just infect a little bit of our society with that spirit, I think our society gets a little stronger. And I think you saw that happen back during World War II. And the reason why you saw it is because everybody had to go to the war. Teachers, everybody had to go. It wasn't just the people that signed up to go to a war, you know, like Saving Private Ryan, the commander of that Ranger detachment was a school teacher. You know, so school teachers, business owners, everybody had to go taste war. So they had a respect for it. They had a perspective on life that they came home with. And then all of these men and women became the entrepreneurs of that generation. Well, we lost that a little bit when we went to an all-volunteer military, because now the only people going in the military are usually children of people that have already been in the military, you know, minus, you know, volunteers and a few other people that kind of get peppered in. Those people didn't grow up in business environments. They grew up in a military household, right? And so I think some of society has lost some of that selfless service ideology, because it's the more and more those people who have tasted military life aren't in industry. And so the more we can infect industry with our ideals, not change it, not tell them that they're wrong, just a little balance, just a little drop in there, and I think collectively we all get better. And so that's kind of what I'm working on behind the scenes, man, is just trying to infect people with ideas that turn them into folks that lead themselves and then make them worthy to lead other people, because they're not focused on doing it for them, they're focused on doing it for the other person.
Yeah, and I think it was
Bobby. Did I tell you about World War II, my two grandpas, or didn't I tell you that?
No, you never did.
Do you like to hear a story about World War II? And because Belgium was next to Germany, right? So
absolutely,
dude. I told you I love stories. You know.
Okay, I'm gonna tell some family history of mine. So, my grandpa from my mom's side. He was like 16 years old, and it was when the Germans were invading Belgium, and Belgium was overtaken in a day, because we're a small country and our military is really small. So for the Germans, it was really easy to overtake our country. So when it was happening, our military decided to, you know, flee away and fight from England. So they had to take the boat to go over the North Sea, we call it. In English, it's also North Sea. To England, right? So what my grandpa did, he went from Brussels, which is like the middle of Belgium, and he hijacked with your thumb up, right, to the coast, and he climbed on one of the military boats, and he went into one of the, how you call that in English, the safe boats, you know, the ones that hang on the side of the boat when it sinks. What's it called? You know, lifeguard boats, whatever.
Lifeboats.
So he climbed on that without them seeing it, and he hid in there, and the boats left, and Hitler heard about it, and he sent a bunch of planes to bomb as much as possible of the boats, and I think, I'm going to be off probably, but I think only 30% of those boats arrived in England. And they discovered my grandpa in one of those lifeboats on the way there. He was too young to be in the military. So when they got off there, they said, like, yeah, we're not going to send you back there because the Germans just overtook Belgium. we're going to give you a job. So he became a mechanic, and he was repairing all the planes for the Belgium and the English army that went and bombed Germany. So, you know, he was carrossier, they call it in French. You know, the metal thing around the plane, you know, he fixed all of that, bullet holes and all that stuff. He fixed that, he replaced parts. And my grandfather from my mom's side, the whole World War II, was fixing airplanes that were bombing the Germans.
Wow.
What happened to my my dad's father was on the other side. He got captured by the Germans as a young guy, and he was sent, he wasn't Jewish, but he still got sent with a train to the war camps in Germany, right?
Wow.
Yeah, and he was working in a factory there. He was getting bad food, underfed. He got a disease that he turned bald. So he was like, I saw pictures from back then. He was like, the things you saw that, you know, happened in the camps, that he was like so skinny that you can see all his bones. That was my grandpa. And he was already together with my grandma. And my grandma, because they captured him, went into the resistance in Belgium and was helping. the resistance and bomb everything, you know, the things you see in the movie, that the resistance was like blowing up things and trying to sabotage stuff. So that was my grandma doing. And at some point, America and England were bombing, and it could have been one of the planes my other grandpa worked on, but they were bombing that facility where my grandpa was working at. And almost everybody went in the bomb shelters there that the Germans made. Only the workers, they left them because they didn't care about them. And my grandfather went into this little shed with three friends, and they started playing cards. And by the time the bombing was over, it was morning, they opened up the door from that little shed, and everything around them was gone. Like, gone, there was nothing. My grandfather told me that story so many times. He said, I couldn't believe it. Like, the whole factory, everything was gone, just holes from bombs. And he said this little wooden shed was still standing in the air there.
Wow.
So what they did, him and his three friends, they collected belts from the dead bodies that they found. And they snuck under a train that was bringing goods to Belgium to supply the German army that was there with goods. So they snuck under the train, put them each other four or five belts, and attached themselves under the train. And they were brought back this way to Belgium. Then when they arrived in Belgium, they snuck off the train and they walked home. That's how he got out.
Wow.
And just like, when I saw my grandfather, just when I saw him and all those pictures, every time he told me that story a million times, I think, but I loved listening to it because I can't imagine what he went through, you know, and the courage he still had to, you know, escape in a way. And my grandma being in the resistance, because being in the resistance, if they found you, you were dead, you know, easy.
Wow, yeah.
But like, there's so many stories, and I mean, that inspired me always to never give up also in life, you know?
Into that.
I mean, if you look at that generation, I mean, people lied about their age to get in.
To be in the military, to help. Yeah.
Because, like, I remember, like, my grandfather lied about his age and was in the Navy, and he had been in for, like, a year. And they're like, wait, you lied about your age? So they separated him from the military, and he turned of age the next day, so he joined the Army, like, the very next day. He was actually a civilian for, like, a day, and he was in the Army. So, but, and like, I always, like, those, that generation, I call them the men and women of honor, you know, because some of the things that they went through and the things they did, you know, even anybody in the military or first responders, I mean, they're men and women of honor because they answer the call when no one else will, you know, and it's, you know,
yeah.
It's people like that comfortability of knowing that they're in their own little sanctity, they're safe, you know, and those people that live outside the safe, you know, it's respectable.
Yeah, like, I asked my grandpa, like, why did you get on those ships? And he was like, I wanted to help my country. I wanted to fight for my country. I wanted to do something. And I was like, but, and your family and stuff? He was like, I was going to fight for them, to protect them. And that's why I jumped on those ships. And he risked his life just to get to England, you know? And that at an age of 16, that's so, like, if you, I can't see a lot of 16-year-olds doing that right now, I'm sorry to
hear. Yeah.
No, because there's no lights on it, you know. I hate to say it, you know.
He would get a lot of likes on his TikTok story if he did.
Right, right.
I mean, it's like everybody, like they revolve their life around getting a like, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. So I mean, it's so awesome. I just like I really want people to get involved and. And your story is just remarkable, and the things that you're doing when, you know, because sometimes you feel like the world turns its back on you, you know, and, you know, people like you are like, you know, let's go ahead and keep the door open for a while. So, and the awesome thing that I've always liked about you is not only are you, you look at things from a motivational standpoint that, like, you know, never back down, never take no for an answer, is that you're also a gamer, you know? So, I mean, it's another way that people can connect with somebody else is that,
yeah,
is gaming, you know? And it's like, you know, it'd be like, you've seen people and you'd be like, dude, this dude's no way. And you're like, oh yeah, he's a gamer too. And you're like, yeah. what the heck? You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, man.
What's your game of choice? I mean, are you console or PC or both?
I'm agnostic. I prefer console just because it's easier, right? Like, you don't have to have all the accoutrements with the PC and make sure my graphics card can handle The Witcher 3 at the highest settings. Like, listen, just, I want to turn it on. You know, my first console ever was actually, I have an older brother that's about 10 years older than me. And he had an Atari 2600.
Let's go.
That was my first one.
That was my first experience with at-home gaming. Other than, you know, we had those little handheld football games.
ColecoVision? Let's go.
Which are super dope. I don't know why they stopped making it. It's a great game. But
the graphics was like, it was a little blip. That's all it was.
It was a red line. That's all it was. But our imaginations took care of the rest. And so, like, one of my first games, obviously, was the terrible version of Pac-Man. But I remember playing Combat, and I remember playing Adventure. And those were the two games, and a little bit of basketball. Basketball was cool. But those were the games. And, you know, we grew up with arcades. Like, arcades still existed. So I remember going to arcades.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like
Pizza Hut or at the mall. Like, going to the arcade was a thing we did growing up. Like, even 7-Eleven had arcade games when I was growing up.
You preach, because you
know what I'm saying?
You'd see your buddies, and you'd shake your pocket, and you'd hear the little chains going chinka chinka chinka.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude.
I used to play Golden Axe at the 7-Eleven in my neighborhood growing up. Like, oh my God. And I remember one of my boys, because this is before smartphones, and I, like, try explaining a smartphone to a kid in 1989. And it's I remember him coming home. He's like, yo, I just beat Golden Axe at 7-Eleven. What? And it was Death Adder. I had to kill him. And it was just this, games were such a part of, at least the people that I rolled with, of our everyday life. It's just what we did. And then my first real console that was mine was technically a PC. It was a Commodore 64. And then my parents finally broke down and got me an NES, like, once I got, like, years after it came out. You know, I was
question
late.
About like, the Commodore. Did you have floppy disks? Did you have the tape recorder? Or did you have the bands, you know, the old ones, the big ones?
I had the floppy drive. Yeah, I had the floppy drive.
I had all three, so it's all nostalgia, you know.
Yeah. Someone was a baller. I mean, you had
I had all three. But keep in mind, he in Europe, which is where I got my Commodore 64, I don't know if it was...
Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it, and I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple, and not only that, I got some H1 Ninja Gym in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today, and I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads, accessories.
Let me ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. Well, guess what? ExtraFi's got you covered. 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to ExtraFi.com or ExtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world. Asia, NA, Europe, they got you covered. So, you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Lagging podcast, send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably not using ExtraFi gear.
Was it as expensive overseas? I can't remember. When I got my Commodore 64,
back then I couldn't
check
on Google, so I don't know.
I was living in Germany when I got my Commodore 64 as a kid.
Oh, really? We're at Germany.
Stuttgart.
I was born in Nuremberg. My mom was But it was funny because, like, talking about the arcade, because you always had that arcade rival. Like, you would walk into it, and there'd be like little Johnny Five Fingers over there, and you would give each other that little head nod. He's like, I'm taking you down on Galaga today, boy.
Right. Well, so, and I'm about a decade behind you, so I didn't have rivals because I sucked at everything. But what we had was the little Asian kid that could murder every game. I was like, every arcade had the little Asian kid, like, that could murder everybody in Street Fighter. Like, he just was the guru. I was like, do you live here, man? Like, what is going on at this arcade that he's killing everybody? And it would always be a young dude that was younger than everybody else, but he was like the freaking Zen master of the entire arcade, man. And it's funny because, you know, we got to live to see arcades go away. And I remember when that started back in the, you know, early 2000s is when that stuff started dying off. And it's crazy, man. But I went from Atari 2600, Commodore 64, and then the NES is where I really landed. That was where I was like, all right, I'm doing this for life now. Because I got to play two of my favorite games of all time, which are Metroid and the original Metal Gear. And that changed me. It was like, this is an experience that, you know, even arcades didn't really have back then. This is something where I'm playing and I can save the game. And it's like, wow, this is what I want to do. This is my fun. You know, and I'm an athlete. Like I said, I wanted to be a failed pro athlete, I guess. But gaming has always been a part of it. And here's a little nerdy marketing nugget for you guys. So in my life of understanding marketing, especially in the social media space with running media companies, if you go to Google, they have a tool that lets you understand what your audience is based upon what you're trying to do. So you can do all these drop downs, right? I'm going to pick people that are seeking higher education, right? Because I teach online courses. Or I'm looking for entrepreneurs, or I'm looking for this group of people. When you drill down far enough into Google's, you know, how they categorize people, every single one of those categories has gaming if you get far enough down. It is the universal language of everybody, from investors to people to hippies to, you know, garden enthusiasts. They're all like, gaming is something they're all, because Google will show you, here's what these people are buying. Video games, it's not always at the top of the list, but it's on every list that I've ever looked at.
Well, and I've said this 1,000 times, is that, you know, like, when I was growing up, if you were a gamer, you were considered, you know, the nerd. You're the nerdy person.
Yeah, you got made fun of.
Now you see everybody is gaming, and they're streaming, they're creating content to some extent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We got made fun of. Like, I remember getting to middle school when I finally got an NES 10 years late. It was like, I was talking, I'd go be going to school, hey man, did you play Double Dragon? They're like, yeah, back in 1985. Why are you, we're trying to talk to girls. Why are you talking about Double? Like, I got made fun of. I remember a kid made up a joke about me that says, he doesn't like girls, he only likes girls on Nintendo games. So you got to talk to him in those terms. And I was like, dang, I got to be all that? Because I was the nerd on the bus who actually still played video games and no one else did.
And I mean, and yeah, so now everyone's doing it. So that's the kind of cool thing about it, is that it's not taboo. It's okay to be a gamer. It's okay to be a streamer. I mean, look at, like, T-Pain. T-Pain's, you know, is a huge stretch. Sorry. But, you know, it's just like, so it's cool. That's what I love about, like, streaming and creating content. It doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, you see people that are, like, in their 50s and 60s that are streaming, and they're creating content. And yeah, no like one's Bobby, telling them example. No. Like me, for example. You're right around the corner.
I'm messing with
you. Always, man.
Yo, Brian, I have a question. I don't know if it's public or not, but what year are you born?
It's not public. I keep that one on the low so they can't find me.
He's 21 years old.
So what I tell people is I'm Wolverine and I'm 137 years old.
Okay.
That's what
because like I'm 1980. Everybody knows that. But
1980, gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm feeling so much similarities in your stories that I'm like, did this dude live in my town or something? You know, even though I'm a European, you know, but like there's so much stuff similar that you're explaining there. I was doing sports, you know, I was a soccer player. I call it football, but you guys call it soccer. I was a soccer player, a pretty good one. I did a bunch of other stuff in sports, but still I was a gamer, you know. I was also a skater, but like I was also this geeky gamer and people made fun of it, you know, but I didn't fucking care. I just wanted to be who I wanted to be.
Yeah, I was a skater for a short time too. And it was, I remember my friend Mike Solanic. I remember his first and last name. He skated by us. He's like, yo, fellas, they invented this new trick. And I'm like, all right, what is it? He's like, it's called the kickflip. And he did one. I think I sold my skateboard the next day. I was like, nope.
Thanks.
My blackness, the black side of me is never going to learn that. So here's my skateboard. I'm done. I'm going to play football.
It's like, I remember, yeah, because like, you know, like I skated too. And it's like, I remember the first time you could pop an ollie and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, I did an ollie, right? Like,
you know, you always wanted to get that little tear on your little skater shoes from popping ollies.
And
you
exactly,
get that one kid
man.
That's like, here, look, dude, I know how to do this 360. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yep. I'll go to the beach.
Yeah, in fact, today I was just at GameStop collecting because I don't know if you guys know, I have a show on YouTube called Collector vs. Wild. Where our mission is to collect, play, and discuss every video game in the known galaxy. And so today, my special item that I just picked up was the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 Collector's Edition that actually comes with the Tony Hawk skateboard autographed by him. And I did that because when I started, part of my story is I used to be a skater, but nobody knows that. You guys are actually hearing that for the first time, other than videos where I may have mentioned it in passing. But I wanted, my first skateboard was a Tony Hawk skateboard. And so I wanted to, I kind of wanted to have something reminiscent of that in my, you know, in my library.
Was that the old Bones Brigade?
Yes.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was a Santa Cruz. I was a Christian Soy guy, dude.
Yo, get it.
Santa
get
Cruz
it,
as well.
Santa Cruz. Santa Christian Cruz.
So Santa Cruz was Christian Soy. Was Lance Mountain on Santa Cruz?
No.
Or was he Power Peralta?
He's Power Peralta. Stacy okay. Peralta. Mike Caballero. Oh my
Caballero.
God.
Yes, I used to love Caballero, man. What a beast.
Lance Mountain was like the funniest skater in the whole wide world. He's like, yeah, this is the dude that was like nerdy, but he made everything so... But yeah, dude, I respect it all, dude. But anyway, we're kind of fanboy. These are the good old days, man.
I'm telling you, man.
Okay, sorry. Right. So you guys, go ahead and shout out that channel real quick, so that way people are checking it out.
So yeah, my YouTube channel is just my name, Bryant Chambers. That's it. I keep it simple, man.
That is awesome.
Bryant Chambers. I've had multiple YouTube channels. Like when I got started, I was still a musician when I started on YouTube, so it was a mix of comedy skits and music. That's an old channel that I can't even find anymore. I don't even know what those videos are. Then I went to gaming with a separate channel with my media company because a huge part of what we produced in our company was gaming content. And then I started doing YouTube because I was a writer at first and then I realized I sucked at writing, but I was okay at talking. So I switched to doing videos. You know, and then I eventually started the Bryant Chambers channel when I got a little bit more focused on, you know, helping people with life strategy and becoming leaders in their own lives. But I wanted to bring gaming back because it's such a huge part of my life. I'm like, I don't even care if anybody watches this. This is just something that I'm interested in and want to do and want to tell that part of my story, man. But yeah, I just picked up the Tony Hawk special edition skateboard today. So looking forward to streaming that hopefully soon.
Oh my God. I think, let me ask you this though, in your personal experience, what do you think people's downfall when it comes to creating content is? Is it like dedication, no direction? I mean, because, you know, they say when it comes to streaming on Twitch is that if you can't watch your own stream, you're doing something wrong.
I don't think we can ever point to here's the one thing. I think it's kind of a progression, right? The first thing that stops everybody is resistance, and that's the fear of judgment. It's overcoming the fear of the voice in your own head, which is telling you stop doing this, everyone's going to think you suck. It's shutting that voice up, and then it's getting over the hump of the, you know, your naysayers and your critics, because people tend to fear the judgment of other people, and that's biological. Humans are tribal animals. We don't like being ostracized, because thousands of years ago that meant the tribe was going to leave us behind and we were going to get eaten. So we're still that fearful animal. It's, by the way, why everybody fears public speaking. It's, I don't want to look like a fool because my tribe is going to basically excommunicate me. So it's a primal fear.
I like
fear
public speaking.
Yeah, some people, so you're like me.
Yeah,
you and me are wired. Like, I love public speaking, yeah, because I love embracing the fear and getting up there and doing it.
And see,
but a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I mean, I did music too in Indiana. I was in a band and stuff, and people, like, I'm so used to it. Like, it's nothing, you know? You're like, okay, cool, you know? And people are like, you can talk to anybody. And I was like, because it's a mindset, you know?
Yeah.
You can talk yourself out of accomplishing anything. Within a second, all you have to do
Absolutely.
Is say, "I don't think I do that." You know,
exactly.
When you say that, you know, you just.
I mean,
you,
if a tribe would
well quit,
expel.
I don't want you to quit.
Probably...
No, hold on a second. I don't want you to quit. Stop telling yourself you can't do something.
Right.
Because once you start telling yourself you can't do something, it's your own demise.
It's true.
I mean,
yeah.
Because I've said it before. At 40 years old, I got into esports management. But people told me I couldn't do it. And if I had listened to those people, I never would have got to put together competitive H1Z1 teams and done great things.
Amen. I'm glad you did, man. We're better for having you.
So, you know, you guys don't – and this is the cool thing is that – and it's really a message that Brian puts out there. It's like, don't let somebody tell you. Don't let somebody dictate what you're going to do, you know.
Yeah, not even me. Like, because people will glom on to what I'm saying. I'm like, guys, I'm a moron. I'm just giving you ideas. You find your path. I'm not here to tell you what you should do with your life. You need to figure that out. I'll just give you the tools to help you get it once you figure it out. And I'll even help you figure it out, but it's your journey, not mine. I can't tell you what right is. That's, you know, and that, it goes back to your question. So it's that fear of judgment, I think, is the primary, that primal fear that prevents people from taking action. Then I think it starts dipping into discipline and consistency. Right, where it's people lack the discipline to show up, because in the social media world, you have to be there every day because you're out of sight, out of mind. You can't not produce content. I mean, if your goal is to have an audience and grow it and nurture it, you know, my stance is kind of different. I'm always trying to get rid of people from following me. Like, don't follow me. I only need a couple hardcore warriors that I want to work with. But then, you know, I end up attracting lots of people to the stuff we do. But
yeah, like especially like about, let's say, about 256,000 of them on TikTok. You know?
So. You know what I mean? So it's that discipline and consistency to show up every single day and keep working. And I'll tell you, like, psychologically, I had a problem with that. And what used to hold me up is earlier in my life, I used to be so obsessed with outcomes. And some of that comes from being a combat soldier, where it's, yeah, the outcome actually matters here, guys, because it's either we win or die, so let's figure it out. But when you get into the quote-unquote real world, where the stakes aren't quite as high, it's not so much about the outcome as it is about the journey. And I've never given a crap about the journey. I want to get to win, because that's kind of how I was wired. But I had to learn how to go on the journey. And you'll find that artists with a more focus on the what, not the why attitude, just keep going because that's what they like doing. Like, I hear a lot of comedians that do that, musicians. Me, I was so focused on the outcome that a lot of times I would stop doing something before it had the time to germinate properly and grow. Because this is not getting the results that I'm looking for, on to the next thing. Not realizing that sometimes the world is a little bit behind where your message is. Not because they're not smart and brilliant, they are. It's just because they're not where you are on the journey. You're on a different place. And you're trying to get them to a place where you're seeing something. And I didn't respect enough or have enough empathy to understand that sometimes it takes people a minute to catch on to what you're saying. So I just move on to the next thing. I used to drive my followers nuts before social media. Because, like, oh, another project. Great. Like, could you just stick with one thing? Like, no. I got to keep moving. I got to keep trying to win. And it's that discipline to stay focused and be consistent that I had to learn over time.
And it's something like we talked about earlier. It's complacency. Once you once you're complacent, you might as well just stop. You know I mean,
might
because
as well quit. Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I think what I like about like this, the podcast, like, you know, I was an esports manager. I was a streamer on Twitch and along the way, it's okay to, I've always said that this is like my life goal. Your end goal, end game always stays the same, you know, but like your, you know, like the goals you set along the way to achieve end goal is something you can change. That's not fixed. End game is always fixed. Like, you know, if I want to say I want to be the greatest podcaster in the world, okay, now that road is never going to be straight. Nothing in life is straight, so that road is going to take a dip and turn a fork in the road. So I can be like, okay, so, you know, for our podcast, you know, I could say like, you know, by this time we want to have, I want to be like here, you know, doing this. Okay, that didn't happen. Let's take the right, you know. But the end goal in life should never change. That's fixed. Your life goal never changes. Now you can set little achievements. You can change those, but you know, the moment you start changing your goals and you know the fixed target, then you know you might as well, you know, I hate to say it, tap out and get out of what you're doing and go do something different, you know. But that goes too. But you know, one thing may not work for you, but it's going to lead you to your next story, your next success story. So
yeah,
I mean, that's what I've been very fortunate with you know, streaming and content creation, meeting Blaze, and which led me to doing this with him, which led me to, you know, I'm meeting and I'm getting to hear people's stories like yours, Brian, and it's awesome. I mean, we're very fortunate. We always consider ourselves very lucky for what we do, because this is just fun. But guess what? I'm hearing somebody else's story, and we both, Brian, we've talked, me and Blaze, is that hearing people's stories, I think, is a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Because
everybody is fascinating. Everybody has something about them that's unique and interesting, no matter who they are. You know, you don't have to be a Hollywood celebrity to have the life that people want to hear about, you know?
Everyone has a story. So you guys out there, that's the Fragging and Lagging podcast. You know, Brian Chambers, his podcast, is that everybody's got a story. Sometimes all you have to do, and it's funny because like I would send like you sent me like a motivational, like, you know, quote one time, Brian, and I responded back with something my dad said. He's that you should always listen, but keep, what was it, dang, now I'm at a loss of words. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, I'm meeting this big huge superstar. I forgot, is that you know, it's like when you're talking, you're not listening. So sometimes it's okay to stop talking just so you can listen. So I love that, because if we're trying to talk about the same thing, no our points are never going to get across, you know. But if I stop talking and I listen, I get to hear your story, I get to hear Blaze's story, and I get to hear anybody and everybody's story that wants to tell it. So
absolutely.
I mean, and it's funny because everything revolves around creating content and gaming to an extent, you know. Everybody's a gamer now, you know. I mean, look at Blaze. He's the Belgium diva, you know.
I'm telling you, man. Well, and gaming has become like Transformers the movie, and that may be a little bit after your time. I know that's my childhood.
They're, you know, more than meets the eye. Okay,
the universal greeting, man. You know, when Cup pulls out that little Energon cookie and he says "Ba weep grana weep ninny bomb." And Hot Rod looks at him like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, it's the universal greeting. That's what gaming is, I think, for people all over the world. It's the universal greeting. It's the universal pastime. Like, it used to be movies. Movies used to be the thing, or TV. Everybody did, and it came to school to talk about the next day or what have you. But now it's games. And now games create a shared experience that TV and movie can't. So now it's not just, hey, I played this game when you're coming back to your crew. It's, hey, we did this thing together. I'm not a MMO guy, but, you know, we raided a dungeon together and killed the Dragon of Shacklar or whatever's going on in those games. I don't know. Now gaming is such a shared experience
We don't talk about MMOs on this podcast.
All right.
Blaze has.
He's teasing me all the time because I didn't play MMOs in my lifetime, but that was I played sports games, like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried them before, but I get about an hour in and I'm just like, all right, there's too many... There's too many keyboard clicks I gotta do to play this game.
Exactly. I mean, we give each other a hard time. I mean, look, let's face it. I played Black Desert Online for 12 hours one time, and that's about it. And I was like,
did you have one of those chairs with a toilet built into it, like Idiocracy?
And I was like, I gotta go away. I gotta take a break. You know, I just didn't know. But, you know, there's people like let's face it, like Blaze. Well, he did play an MMO. He played, what was that game? Blaze.
The new one that alpha tested? Yeah. New World.
But,
okay. There was a beta a few weeks back from that one, and it's coming out pretty soon.
But
that's a nice game.
Yeah, I mean, contrary to people that, like, you know, that dedicated their life to, you know, like the World of Warcraft, you know, we love you guys, we really do, but that's just not our cup of tea, you know.
It's too complicated. Like, I tell my sons all the time. My son plays VR and he's playing this game called Pavlov, and he had me play it one time and I had to defuse a bomb, but you're holding the virtual reality sticks and you're actually having to use your... I'm like, dude, why? Just give me a gun and a controller and let me shoot people. Why do I have to do... Like, this game is like doing like video games, and, you know, I used to review video games for a long time, and I'm a brutal critic when it comes to games. It's like, your game's too dang... Like, if your game has to teach me how to play it, it's too complicated. Like, Super Mario Brothers teaches you how to play it by being in the game. The game starts you all the way to the left. So guess what? You kind of figure out you're supposed to run to the right. And if you're too dumb, like me, to figure out you're supposed to run to the right, well, enemies start coming from the right. And it's like, well, maybe there's something over there. So the game, just by existing, teaches you how to play it. If I got to sit through a 20-minute tutorial to figure out which buttons to press, like, I'm already tuned out. It's too much, like, work. But I know... people younger than me, they can handle all that and they enjoy it for some reason. I'm like, dude, this feels like going to a job. I play games because I want to have an enjoyable experience, not get tactically proficient at defusing bombs. Like,
that's probably why Blaze and I don't get along very much when we're playing Battle Royale. But that's our thing, though.
I can't handle the complexity, man.
We give each other a hard time, but it's nice because I get to play with somebody that makes me better, you know. And we give each other a hard time, but we all share the end goal. And I always play on his servers. It's so weird because I don't understand it. Can we get a server for, like, put in the middle of, like, an ocean that's fair for everybody to play, please? All this technology, and we can't get a server in the middle of an ocean?
Maybe Elon Musk's satellites is going to solve that, you know?
what is y'all's Battle Royale game of choice?
The game, like, right now, I don't know.
The game that started it all, you know?
We're professional PGA 2K21 golfers, you know, or esports ready. Not really, but... as far as the Battle Royale game of all games for us, H1Z1, hands down.
Okay. And that's a derivative of, what is the name of that military shooter? Arma, right? Isn't that running on the Arma engine?
I don't think so.
Or is that DayZ that runs on
it? I think DayZ is the one.
Okay. Because I never played DayZ because I tried Arma 3, loved the story, loved the military... feeling of it, and the fact that it uses every key on the damn keyboard to play. I was like, I'm out.
If you think about it, too much for me. Battle Royale, you got to be thankful to one person who invented the whole genre, right? And it's the guy Unreal called Tournament? Player Unknown, he's called.
Player Unknown, okay.
Cool. Yeah, that's the guy that programmed. What's it called, the first game where they had that mod on Bobby? I always forget it. The one before H1Z1.
Counter-Strike?
No. It's escaping me. But anyways, PlayerUnknown made that mod there.
Got it.
Then got into contact with the people from H1Z1 because H1Z1 was in the beginning a survival game, you know, where you had to, you know, kill zombies and do other stuff, which was a pretty enjoyable game. And then this guy gets on the team and they build the whole genre of Battle Royale on that thing. And that created H1Z1.
Interesting.
And then that guy left H1Z1. They bought him out and he kept a part of it. I don't know exactly how it went.
and he went to a company in Asia that was known for making good mobile games. And suddenly they went sit together with him and they made this PC game called PUBG, which everybody knows, you know, later on.
Yeah.
And PUBG, Player Unknown Battleground.
Got it. Okay. That's the godfather, huh?
But yeah,
so I've had the honor to meet him a few times. He's a super cool guy.
Oh, that's cool,
and,
man.
And a gamer like us, you know.
But I mean, I was a console guy. I was a console guy up until H1Z1. Changed it. I was a Call of Duty guy. Modern Warfare 2. I mean, I think I'd like Modern Warfare 2 because, and H1Z1 because it was kind of a toxic chat, you know? Like, you're going to let somebody know what's going on, you know? And it's always been the running joke, like, in Modern Warfare 2, my mom was, like, slept around on my dad so much because apparently she was having, you know, these guys were banging my mom all the time. I always say it. I was like, that was, like, the one combat. I mean, Modern Warfare 2 chat lobbies made people men, you know? Like, man, tough skin, you know? But then proximity chat. There's not enough proximity chat, you know? I miss it.
You got to imagine you're on an A server. Is this you're on EU servers? You're hearing it in French that your mom cheated on your dad.
Yeah,
you're hearing it in German, in Dutch, in English, in Serbian, in Portuguese, in Espanol.
It's funny.
I mean, you learn a lot of ways to say that your mom cheated on your dad, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because I'll be playing, because I play with Blaze on his servers because it works better for ping rate, you know, and for him. And then he starts laughing. He's like, that guy just said such and such in like French. And I was like, well, I don't know. Half the time they say something to me, I can't hear it. So, but what's your game of games? The one game that if you had to play one game for the rest of your life,
Jesus,
no matter what.
One game?
One game for the rest of your life in its heyday.
God, I'd probably quit gaming. I don't know if I could do it. I got to play one for the rest. I'm turning around to look at my collection here of 600 games that I have here.
Hard flex. No.
Let's see. One game for the rest of my life. Let me think through all my favorites. So we got Metroid, Metal Gear, Nier Automata, Axiom Verge, Shaka Khan. It would probably have to be an RPG because then it has a reason to keep playing, like I can keep leveling up and stuff like that. And if I had to pick an RPG where that was possible, maybe Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo, maybe Metroid, because I had at one point when I was doing more gaming content, I worked to beat Metroid once a year. So I might just play that over and over and over again until I could speed run it. And beat it in 5 minutes. Or, on the flip side, it might be something like Ghost Recon Wildlands that never really runs out of content. And it's a shooter that I actually, like, I hate most shooters. But for whatever reason, Ghost Recon Wildlands got the formula right for me. So probably something like that if I had to pick.
I mean, it's always nice because, like, we've had people that say games that we would never expect them to say. I mean, like, for me, I guess it would be, like, H1Z1 preseason 3. Is like the good, you know, days, you know.
The sad thing is I'm going to think of something after I get off this podcast, but like, dang it, that's the game I was supposed to say.
What if I say Tetris?
Swing Tetris? Yeah. Oh, I know what I would probably play for the rest
Tetris
of my life.
I played Tetris for many years. So.
I would probably play Two Worlds. That's probably what I would play. If I had to play it for the rest of my life, because there's no level cap. I could just keep going forever and ever and ever in that game. Becoming the most powerful, you know, whatever it is you are, not knight or a guy, whatever the guy is. Maybe something like Two Worlds, where it's an open world role-playing game, and you can go anywhere you want, do whatever you want from the beginning of the game, and you can have this constant sense of making progress. That's probably the game I'd land on if I had to sit here, because even if I got to the point where I killed everything in that game, I could just restart it and have a slight, like the core experience is always going to be the same because the story is the story. But the adventure could be different every time I plug it in. So probably Two Worlds. I'm going to land on that. The game, the RPG that everybody hates that I think is the best RPG ever made.
I think that's the cool thing about gaming is that everybody can hate this game and it just takes one person to like it. Well, two. You guys and the devs. You know, you and the dev, you know.
You me and the devs, yeah. Because it's funny. I reviewed that game That was one of the first reviews, video reviews I ever did when I started reviewing games. And it was shortly, it was a couple of years after Pro Jared, the big YouTuber, had reviewed it, saying that it was everything you've heard about this game is true. It sucks. It's terrible. The story's terrible. The frame rate's terrible. And all those things are true, by the way. Nothing he said was false. But then I did a review a couple years later that says, Two Worlds, my favorite RPG of all time. And it just so happened that coincided with the Steam sales. That was the year Steam started selling that game and all of their sales for 99 cents. So everyone and their mom's like, well, this game's 99 cents, but I heard it sucked. Let's go to YouTube to verify. They'd watch Jared's video where he basically craps all over it. Then they'd watch mine where I'm like, this is the best game I've ever played. I love this game. And I actually had people coming in asking me, like, is this a parody? Like, are you being funny or do you actually love this game? I said, well, yes, I love this game because I don't care about stories in video games because I think 99% of storytellers in video games suck at telling stories, right? If you've heard my podcast called Modern Video Games Suck and It's Hideo Kojima's Fault, you know, that's what that's about. It's Hideo Kojima made my second favorite game of all time, and he's an amazing storyteller. Even in the games I don't like, I can't say the stories aren't great. But then every other designer tried to emulate him, and they can't do it as well. I'm like, you guys can't be Hideo Kojima. Stop it. So yes, the story in Two Worlds is hot garbage. But when I played it, it was like, well, this is a satire. Clearly, the designers weren't being serious when they wrote this story. Like, in the game, there's weather settings. It'll start raining. Your character will start singing, it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring. Clearly, they didn't write that to be serious. And so all these reviewers were talking about how this game couldn't measure up to Elder Scrolls, which is the game they challenged when they came out. It was like, well, the story sucks. I'm like, yeah, but it's a satire, guys. Like, this isn't real. Like, it's corny on purpose. And yeah, the frame rate sucks, but I'm not a PC player, so I couldn't care less. I grew up playing arcade games. Like, I grew up playing slideshows. I'm fine. But the adventure in the game is what mattered. The story, because I've argued with, and I've actually had game designers get mad at me on social media because I critique them. And they're like, well, we have to tell stories. I was like, well, first of all, if you have to tell a story, first, be good at telling stories because you suck at it. Two, let the environment let the environment tell the story instead of you. Like, if you've ever, have you guys ever played The Witcher 3?
No, it was
a little bit, but not till the end.
So
yeah.
there's a point in the game. It's an open world RPG, but there's a town in the game that you cannot avoid. The game forces you into it. No words are spoken. You walk into the town and you literally see people impaled with a blade through their neck and coming out of their stomach and into the ground, where some force has come through that town and murdered everybody. And you know that immediately without any dialogue. You just know it. Like, the environment is telling the story, and then the player is filling in the gaps. And that's a great story. But when they all start talking, I think I was streaming Witcher 3 a couple years ago, where I just remember there's this cutscene and they wouldn't shut up. And I remember saying on the stream, I pray at the end of this cutscene, Geralt and his daughter, whatever her name is, Ciri, get in a Buick and drive off, because it would be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'll stop, you know, being angry that I have to sit through 20 minutes of poorly written, cliched storytelling. And it's like, if you're going to make me listen to your story, you better be as good as Hideo Kojima is, or just let me make the story by playing the game. And that's kind of the thesis of the podcast.
I just think it's funny
that
you threw the Buick reference in there. That's
the yeah, that's what makes it funny. Like, let them just get in a, because, you know, it's clearly medieval times. There's no cars. But after they're done talking, there's like a Buick out of the shot that they both walk to and get in and just drive off.
Or like a Prius or something.
Right, like a Prius. That would have made my entire life. I would have said, this game's the best game I've ever played in my life, because they get it. You know, like, I just finished Ghost of Tsushima. And you want to talk about a cornball, just, when will they shut up and let me beat this game story? Like, the story in that game is, to me, horrendous. Until the very end, and then it's amazing. Like, why did you guys wait till the last cutscene to start making the story good? You know? And so, you know, I'm obsessed with games from my childhood where the stories weren't told to you in dialogue. You got the story by just playing through the game. You know, so it's... that's what I would love to see more of, is those experiences where I get to... So, yeah, I review the game. It gets tons of views because Steam put it on sales. It was like this perfect storm of my YouTube channel starting to blow up because of this crazy review I did where the whole world disagreed with me.
The reason I like battle royales is it's always different because you're always playing humans, you know. Okay, you got the same map. Okay, you got the same weapons, but the people you're playing are always thinking differently.
It's true.
And or if you're like me, how it you're goes, never thinking. Oh yeah, like you're just running and trying to catch up with running. Me.
I can't play battle royale because I'm too much of a soldier. Like the stuff players do in that game is so wrong in a fight. That's just my friends all yell at me, like, dude, where are you? I was like, why did you guys just run across that bridge? That's where they. The artillery is trained on that bridge. Like, dude, there's no artillery in this game. Will you get your ass up? Like, all right. I can't play him because
The things I mostly look at in battle royales is like my position. You know, like, can I hide really quickly when they start shooting at me?
Right.
And like sometimes Bobby comes next to me. Where are they? And he starts shooting in the middle of the street. And I'm like, dude, you have no cover.
Yeah. Well, like I was streaming Call of Duty Advanced Warfare years ago, and there was another combat. There was another infantry guy. Well, I'm not an infantry guy, but there was an infantry guy watching my stream, and he starts laughing in the comments. He's like, dude, are you checking corners? And I was like, yes. He's like, it's Call of Duty. What are you doing? This isn't war. Stop it. Just run.
It's that mentality. You know?
I can't turn it off. That's why I can't play. I suck at those games because I play it like I'm an actual combatant. And I just suck.
You just need to play with the right people. We'll get you. We'll bring you on board. We'll have some now, good times, man.
The flip side was when I played Battlefield 3, I could get into it because it was way harder. Like Call of Duty is easy compared to Battlefield. Like you got to actually be able to fight and aim properly. Like if your target is 400 meters away, you've got to aim high. Like you got to know those things.
Well, that's what I like.
And
about
you never
H1Z1.
Tried H1Z1.
H1Z1. There was bullet drop, and these guys are like theirs. Like I was like. And I've said that even about the Fortnite kids. I know it's cartoony and stuff. There's no bullet drop on anything. And like in H1Z1, there was bullet drop. So you had to learn shooting mechanics, kind of like reality, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. So I'm Battlefield, serious. I could play. But like, and you know, I'll play Call of Duty with my friends and it's fun or whatever for, you know, a week or two. But then I get bored. It's like, all right, I've had enough of fake combat. Let's go do something else.
Fake combat.
But I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and I'm glad our schedules worked out for coming on the podcast. It does mean the world. Go ahead, you guys, make sure you check them out. So is everything going to be on bryantchambers.com, all your social media?
Yeah, if you want to find me, bryantchambers.com will get you there, but if you're on TikTok, it's just Bryant Chambers Speaks is my name there. Let's go through the order progression. My podcast is the most important thing I create. It's Bryant Chambers Movement on every app you can think of, except for Stitcher. We're not there yet. My publisher and I are still figuring out Stitcher. But everywhere else, Bryant Chambers Movement is my podcast. It's the most important thing I create. Down from that would be my TikTok content, which is my shorter form, you know, 9 seconds to a minute videos that are really just condensed versions of my podcast, really. And then from there, it's YouTube, where I do my live streams and my hangouts and stuff like that. So, Bryant Chambers Speaks on TikTok, Bryant Chambers Movement on podcast, and YouTube's just Bryant Chambers. If you can't remember any of that, go to any of those platforms and just search BRYANT, Bryant Chambers, and you'll find it. You'll see the angry bearded man.
Yeah, we'll make sure all your stuff is in the description of this podcast, so
appreciate
don't worry
that.
About it. So.
And the thanks is mine to give you guys, man. I always relish opportunities to come on folks' shows and just chop it up. You guys are awesome. I think what you're doing here is great. And I mean, this has been a pleasure for me. So thank you. And thank you for being persistent with my silly schedule, man. I really appreciate that.
You know what, though? That's what flexibility is about, man.
And schedule-wise, I have a question live here. So in a few weeks after this podcast releases, me and Junkhead are going to do a stream for Save the Children, right, Junk?
Yeah.
So Save the Children is an organization that collects money for people in Africa, the kids actually, to be able to go to school. And awesome. We had a previous podcast before you with one of the, with Maral, who's one of the women working for that organization. And what was it again? Was it $1 gets the kid the whole year to school, Bobby?
What was they were saying? No, she said $1 gets 4 kids the ability to go to school.
Yeah, something like
that. Wow.
So we're gonna do a very, very long stream on Twitch, me and Junkhead. And we would like to invite you to be somewhere during the stream, part of the stream, to do a live kind of type of podcast with us. Maybe a bit in between. And try to collect money with us for Save the Children, if you're up to that.
So yeah, I mean, and but do you guys play on PC, right?
Yeah, but like Call of Duty is cross-platform. But mostly mostly of the thing will be probably just us talking about like what we're doing now.
Doing this.
Okay. Talking just with our chat.
We're trying to get a bunch of the previous guests in on this.
Okay, just to talk so we don't have to be in the game.
Yeah. So this one will be out, and then, you know, we're going to have some
good times. I will tell you, I have every console. So if you guys end up playing a console game, I'd be more than happy to play with you if I'm free that night. I'd love to be on the show. Question for you, do you guys participate in Extra Life every year in November? The charity that works with children's hospitals, and they get gamers to stream for 24 hours or to play games for 24 hours, and you get people to sponsor you.
I've not done that yet.
I did that one for a couple of years when Extra Life started, and then once I started having 97 children, I kind of fell off. But I'd like to get back into doing that too. So that's something to consider for, because they do it right around Veterans Day. I think it's the time they do it in November. So it's pretty cool. It was fun. Like I was working with Dan Shu and Bitmob at the time, so we had a whole team of people that were all gaming together and trying to help each other stay awake. Like, you up? Like, I'm still up. I'm drinking Mountain Dew. Hang in there.
Knuckle up. Let's go.
I'd be more than happy to hang with you guys if I can make that schedule work. Yeah, and I'll do what I can to make it work, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So
we're always up to help too, so just hit us up,
Absolutely, man.
So, like I said, once again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule for coming and hanging out. It means the world. All Brian's information will be in the description below. Make sure you guys are following him on TikTok, YouTube, checking out his podcast. Make sure you guys are giving it a follow and a 5-star rating. And the same thing with this one, a follow, 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to it on. Because I think we pretty much are all on the same platform, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all kind of good stuff. And
even on Amazon Alexa, man. Even there.
World star. But you guys, make sure you're checking out his content, because what he's saying, the content he's putting out there is content that is healthy to digest for everybody. You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to be. It's for everybody.
And inspirational, right?
It exactly.
Yeah, the only criteria I have for people to listen to me is you just want something better than what you have today. And even if your life's amazing, you want to be just a little bit better tomorrow. That's all I'm working on. Just incremental improvements to everybody's life that makes them happy. And it's their definition of happy, not mine. Because I'm not going to pretend like I know anything enough to tell people how to live their life. I just know some tools that'll help them live the life they want to live. So if you're into that, if you're totally satisfied with your life, then I'm probably not for you. I'll probably get really annoying. But if you want something better, come holler at me.
You know, and if you're totally satisfied with your life, then you're probably on living on an island with who's that, the Virgin Airlines guy? What's his name?
Richard Branson.
Yeah, Richard Branson. make sure you guys are checking out both of our content, his podcast, our podcast, and showing some love, and it means the world. And like I said, once again, everything will be down in the description. And, I'll let Blaze close it out. Blaze, put your thing down, buddy.
Honestly, Bryant, I'm really happy I met you. You just through this podcast already inspired me, and I'm like, I'm going to go and check out his TikTok. Like, every video, I'm going to watch it 20 times.
Thank you, brother.
No, seriously, thank you for being with us. Bobby, thank you for introducing him to me. Bobby?
Yeah?
If you ain't dragon,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas!